You're listening to the Courageous Life Podcast, helping you develop courage and resilience in a perilous and unpredictable world. This is your host, Sean Mitzel. I'm coming to you from the mountains of northern Idaho. I'm glad you're with us. On today's podcast for the Worldview segment, I talk about a parlor trick that the current administration is playing with executive orders and executive memorandum. And for our main topic, we have kind of a panel discussion, and this is a two-part discussion. So today is part one, where I sit down with Monica and Lindy, and we talk about some different ways that life has changed for us. And we go through various topics. We talk about how things are easier, how things are harder, or maybe how they're just different. So we cover several topics with regards to that. On today's Worldview segment, I want to discuss an article that I found in USA Today, and the title is called "Obama Issues Executive Orders by Another Name." And I want to address this this government action by the current administration, because what it really is a parlor trick. It's being deceitful to the American people. And we know this because if you talk to anyone and if you simply address what the president is doing, it doesn't matter if we're talking about immigration or gun control or anything. In you know, if he's taking some kind of unilateral action through executive order or any type of executive action, there's a tendency to say, hey, he is overstepping his bounds. He is exceeding his authority. And if you talk to anyone about this, what they almost to the person will immediately come back and say, he has done no such thing. He is, in fact, he has issued less executive orders than Bush, you know, constantly being compared to the previous president. And I'm hoping that what we can focus on today is looking at this president. I don't want to look back and do a comparison and go, well, but he was worse than this guy. Okay, now if Bush exceeded his authority, and he did in many areas, bad on him. Okay, it doesn't matter. And we need to stop letting people get away with trying to compare what he is doing right now to the previous president. It's just ridiculous. And so that's why I wanted to bring this up. Because that's what it is. It's a parlor trick. And like the article says, it's executive actions or orders by a different name. And here's the deal. There are many ways that the president uses his power to influence policy, influence federal agencies, regulations. You know, and one of those ways is through executive orders. And another way is through executive memoranda. And then there's other ways too, through policy, et cetera. But what I want to specifically address today is executive orders and executive memoranda. Because like I said, if the talking point from this administration when directly confronted about imperial overreach, we hear that often, which I think that's a pretty good term, is that, well, we haven't issued as many executive orders as Bush. True statement. That is true. But when you add up Obama's executive orders and his executive memorandas, it's way more than Bush. In fact, it's more than in any other president since Carter, when you add those two together. So that's the important piece to remember here, because people will play these tricks with you, whether they know it or not. In fact, a lot of people, just your average Joe on the street, doesn't know this. And here's the important point. The memorandum and the executive order, although implemented in different ways with different requirements, have the same force. They have the same force of law, if you will. So even though an executive order requires, you know, it has a specific number associated with it, there has to be a reference in an executive order to a specific law. So if the president is issuing an executive order for clarification, let's say, they'll put the reference on there and they'll reference this to law that basically would justify the executive order or at least be related. And so a memorandum doesn't have these requirements, but it has the same force of law. And so Obama has issued a ton of memorandum. In fact, the latest one that everyone's up in arms about with regards to immigration was through memorandum. And yeah, even though he's trying to push through his amnesty, essentially, he did it by memorandum. So that tells you the type of power that a memorandum holds. So it's important. Do not let people misguide you into doing some kind of comparison. Because, I don't even care if any other president did more than what he's doing. We're addressing what he is doing. So, for example, through executive action, and again, it doesn't matter whether it was a memorandum or an order, he has done things like in Alaska, he has closed certain areas that were previously open to gas and oil exploration. Okay, so that's just an example. And if you just think about that, just step back and think about that for a minute. President of the United States, through a memorandum, is impacting the state on whether or not the free market can go in there and do gas and oil exploration, or bypassing the state that has its own laws and regulations regarding who can explore for gas and oil exploration. My point is this. Our concept of federalism, that balance between the federal government and the state governments, is way off base when the president of the United States can issue via a memorandum what that state can or cannot allow on its own territory. Here is one quote, a direct quote from President Obama that shows his willingness to deceive people. And it says this: "The truth is, even with all the actions I've taken this year, I'm issuing executive orders at the lowest rate in more than 100 years." And again, that was a direct quote from Obama. And then he goes on to say, "So it's not clear how it is that Republicans didn't seem to mind when President Bush took more executive actions than I did." Unquote. All right. That right there is a completely deceptive statement. He knows for a fact that his memorandums carry just as much weight as his executive orders. And he's issued lots of them, way more than Bush did. And again, I'm not defending Bush. There's a lot of things that Bush did that I despised. And in fact, when I look back on it, I was really fooled at the time when he was president. He was not a good president. That's just my opinion. But he took a lot of imperial overreach as well. Obama's just taken it to a new level. So his deception here is that he is following the letter of the law with regards to executive orders, even though he knows he's exceeding Bush in total executive actions. Clearly, just a flat-out lie. On today's podcast, we are going to talk about how life has changed. And I'm sitting here with Monica and Lindy, and we are talking about our transition from a kind of a suburban military life to a life of homesteading and entrepreneurship. So, and what we're going to do is do this topically. We're just going to kind of randomly go through some topics and discuss how life has changed. The first thing is my work. Obviously, that has changed dramatically from being an active duty officer in the Marine Corps to entrepreneur on the homestead.
All day long.
Yes. Is a dramatic difference.
Yeah.
The first thing is that the obviously the objectives and the end state of being a military officer are defined by somebody else.
Yeah.
And we are here, we are defining our own objectives, figuring out what we are trying to do here on the homestead.
Right. You're working toward our goals and our objectives.
Right. And quite honestly, we're still working on that. We're still trying to figure it out. Even though we have a plan and we're marching forward on that plan, we don't fully know what we're going to be doing, say, 2, 3, 4 years from now. We have an idea and we have a general direction, but not an exact. It's not an exact science.
I think is the fact that we're remaining flexible. That as doors open, we seize that opportunity and we step through.
Yeah.
So we're not so, lockstep, like, oh, no, that's exactly what we're doing. We are looking for opportunities, like the goats. I mean, we weren't
planning
that
on goats.
Not on that, our to-do
not
list.
Not on the plan. No. Not on the two-year plan, broken down by phases.
Yeah, and into months,
steps.
And then what are we going to do this week?
Right.
No, goats wasn't even on it.
It just was an opportunity that presented itself.
Right, and we thought, hey, let's do it. So, yeah, that's so we're doing. And did I mention he's home all day? I don't know.
Yes, you did. It is nice.
It's nice, right, honey?
Yes, hon. Okay. It's awesome.
So yeah, that's obviously a dramatic difference. Is that I was gone a lot.
You were gone a lot, and not only when you weren't traveling, you were working a lot. So we're just not used to seeing, especially I'm not used to seeing you all day, every day.
Right.
What it tends toward is us wanting to sit and talk and drink coffee.
Right. Which requires a lot of discipline
to keep. Yeah. Like, okay, we got to get up. We got to get moving.
Let's get moving.
Yeah.
So planning.
It's like we're on vacation.
Right. But
except that we're not.
Right. So we still work. Obviously, we work a lot. In fact.
Yes.
We work more. No.
Yes, definitely.
But it's a different kind of work, and it's obviously at home. So that's a major change.
Yeah.
I went from career-oriented Marine officer to homesteader and entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is a crazy change.
Well, yeah, and obviously paycheck changes, too.
Just
mentioning.
That's
paycheck
true.
Changes.
Yeah. So, yeah, the paycheck is dropped off.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's okay. That also brings up a really good point that we were talking about earlier, and that is how when you have money or you have time or you have resources, you tend to waste it.
Yeah. You don't think about it.
Right.
Until you don't have it.
Yeah.
Then you think about it all the time.
No, it's true. I mean, yeah. When people even... It doesn't matter. I don't care what income level you're at. If you have spare money, most people use it.
Yeah, it's easy to do that.
Yeah, it is easy to do that. And granted, we've lived below our means for a long time.
Yeah, and we did have savings, and we were saving every month. Matter of fact, we didn't even count that money as our income. But the money that we did have extra beyond our savings, we did just.
Yeah, we were a little bit loose with, to be perfectly honest.
Right.
Yeah.
We did things that we wouldn't do now that we have a much more reduced income.
Right. And it's the same thing with time.
Yep.
When you have, when everybody always says that the common objection to just about anything is, well, I don't have time.
Right.
It doesn't matter what it is. Why don't you do this or that or the other thing? Well, I don't have time. Like, actually, if we're honest with ourselves, we do have time.
Right.
There's things like just cut out the entertainment that you usually work with, whether it's TV or video games or whatever, then you have time.
Right.
It's just that you're not willing to do that.
Right. Even reading books. I mean, I'm not saying reading novels, is not something you should ever do. But I think there's people out there that read novels so much and so frequently that they spend several hours a day doing that when they could be doing something productive or something that's working toward bettering themselves or toward a goal.
Right, like having a focused reading on a particular skill or whatever.
Right.
Whatever the goal is.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so obviously my work has changed dramatically.
Yes.
There's no doubt about it. And I'll tell you one extra thing on that is that if there was a tendency for anyone to be prideful in that, oh, hey, I was this in the Marine Corps. I was a master sergeant. I was a major. I was a general. Mm-hmm. That when you are become an entrepreneur and or a homesteader, that pride better go away if there was any there.
Yeah, it better. You know? Because you need to be thankful for any opportunity that yes. comes up, regardless of whether it's like, oh, hey, we need an extra $200 this month. Yeah. I'm going to go clean up a barn.
That's right. You're the chief bottle washer, today, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
That you have to be okay with that.
Yeah. That doesn't mean that you're not expecting and believing in your entrepreneurship and what you're doing. But when you're first starting out, sometimes you need to just be willing to take whatever is there in front of you at that moment.
Hey, can I go shovel dung for you?
yeah.
To make a few extra
dollars while we're working on our stuff.
Of course. And, you know, and that is a trade-off. Be perfectly honest. To go from a career in the Marine Corps that most people in my position would have transitioned into the corporate world.
Yes.
Into mid-level management. Had a comfortable career income and well, along with working 60 hours a week.
Right.
That transitioning into something like homesteading or entrepreneurship is a radical change.
Well, it is. And it's, you know, you can get a little bit nervous. Now, one of the things that's helped us is that we have saved and that we do have some resources to be able to use as we reduce our income. And with us getting our homestead moving like next year, we'll be able to have the majority of our food taken care of, which is going to be huge.
Yeah, and that's, I can't remember the number of the podcast, but we went over goal setting. And what we used is a specific example on food production that we're trying to do here. And it was by August of 2016 that, you know, that we're really working towards. In fact, it was an 80%.
Yeah.
Basically, caloric. We will provide 80% of our caloric intake from our farm.
Yeah, I tell you what, even 50%, if we can do that this next year, will massively reduce our need for an income.
Sure.
Because with this many kids and this many teenagers in the house, they eat a lot of food.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Reduce that.
And it's more than the money. Underlying health behind it. But yeah, I get your point. So that's the career change that we've had. And
that's a big change.
It's about as dramatic as you can get.
Yes, I agree.
So what do you want to move to next?
How about day-to-day life? How has our life changed every day?
Wow. That's significant. Lindy, what do you think? Day-to-day life. Has it changed for you?
Yes, a lot. Definitely doing a lot more work.
Yeah. So in Okinawa, compared to now, do you give us a comparison?
In Okinawa, I would get up and do about 15 to 20 minutes of household chores. Mm-hmm. And then I would do school. And there was really nothing else to do.
Gotcha. So then you had free time.
Yeah.
You just played outside. I remember you guys played outside with the neighbors and the kids
a
lot.
Yeah.
And that was all good. And
there was nothing wrong with it. It's just...
There's nothing wrong with it. But I remember distinctly thinking, and in fact having conversations with different people along the way, talking about work as a blessing.
Yes.
And how we didn't have it there.
Yeah.
You know, it was hard to provide that blessing because it is a blessing.
Yeah.
It is not, in fact, it's actually a curse not to have your children work. Whether they realize it or not, doesn't matter. It's not a good thing.
Well, right, because when God created man, he created him to work.
Right.
To work 6 days and then rest. And I, you know, unfortunately, that's not been something that's promoted in our culture. You know, today. We work 5 days and we rest two. It's very traditional.
We get really upset if we have to work at all on
Saturday. If we don't get our 2 day weekend or 2 days off a week somehow, whether it's broken up or whatever, there's usually some upheaval and anger in people. That really is our traditional work week, 5 days a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now here, we do work 6 days a week.
We work 6 days a week.
And even on Sunday, unfortunately, there's still things we have to do because we have animals.
Now. Yeah, and we do what's necessary.
Right. We do what's necessary.
But we do take time to rest on Sunday.
Yeah. But, you know, if you've got animals, you have to care for them.
Sure.
Even if it's
Sunday. And that may even require repairing the barn.
Yes. Right, right.
Trying to keep the goats in.
Yes. Right. So, which we ended up having to do on Sunday.
Yeah. So now you explained about Okinawa that you had chores there. You had daily chores.
Took you about 20 minutes. And that's
school. You had school and
yeah.
You know, and then various other things that we did.
Yeah.
And then how about now?
Well, now.
I think people are interested in this.
Hmm. Well, yeah, now life is good. Well, in the mornings at 7:30, I have to feed the goats and let them out of the barn.
So was it warm this morning?
No. The ground was frozen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I just have to let them out of the barn and stuff, and then I make breakfast for the family. Yep. And then I also am taking care of our sprouts and any wheatgrass we have growing.
Wheatgrass, yep.
Help clean the kitchen and stuff. And stay busy pretty much all day.
Well, yeah. Then you do school, and then what do you do it for?
I feed the goats again and get them into the barn.
And how about with the podcast?
Oh, yeah, I guess I edit the podcast and post it.
Yeah, you're really our producer.
Yeah.
And also the videos. And when we do make videos, we've made a couple of videos here and there.
Yeah. You're taking pictures and you're taking video.
Raw data and you put it into a video.
Edit it, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say you're pretty busy.
Yeah.
You are busy all day.
I like it.
Yeah.
A lot more.
Well, and you do your own laundry and you know, you help with a lot of things around the house, so.
Would you say you've learned some skills since you've been out here?
Yes.
Can you give us a couple of examples?
Sprouting wheat.
Okay. So, yeah.
Yogurt. Okay. Making butter.
Yeah.
Cooking.
Yeah.
Didn't do much of it before we moved here.
Yeah, and I've had to pass some of that responsibility off so that I can focus on other things on the homestead.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think one of the things that is really cool is that we're all working together as a family to try and move this thing forward.
Yeah, we're building something, and we're cooperatively working instead of it being like, oh, you do your thing, you do your thing, you do your thing. You go to work every day. And yes, it was bringing in an income, but there wasn't anything that we could participate in.
Right.
It wasn't like you could bring the kids to work.
Right. It was kind of disconnected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here where it's a very, it's a group effort.
Yes.
It really is. And now, I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We talked about how, you know, in the last 6 months, life has changed dramatically.
Yes.
We know that. And we're going to continue to talk about that a little bit. But we started really preparing for this years prior.
Yeah, we did.
In some ways.
Yeah.
I mean, we've wanted to do this for a long time.
I agree. You know what's funny, though, is that when we first started talking about this, it was a long, long time ago, our focus was completely different. You know, we always wanted some land, and I think just because we are sort of independent people,
yeah,
we didn't like being surrounded by a bunch of neighbors and things like that. So that's never been a draw for us.
Right.
But our purpose for owning land was not the same as it is today.
No, that's true.
And honestly, if I had known kind of the stuff that I would have to do now or the things that we were planning or doing maybe 15 years ago, I probably would have gone, what? What are you talking about? That's radical. Yeah, that's radical. Like,
yeah.
Kind of crazy. And I don't know that I was prepared to even know all of that.
You know, you mentioned that we've always been kind of independent. We wanted a little bit of land. Mm-hmm. And we didn't want to be surrounded by neighbors. Isn't it interesting, though, that we're probably closer with our neighbors, quote unquote.
Yes.
Now. Than we were even when we were so tightly packed in.
I know. It is interesting. We've been on base housing many times.
And, right. And it's not like we weren't friendly with our neighbors.
No, of course not. We were friendly. But it was... Nobody was...
Helping each other.
Yeah. There wasn't a real tight camaraderie, I think.
Right.
And here, even though we live, you know, a mile away or 2 miles away, and we're separated by woods and all these inconvenient driveways...
Can't see each other.
Doesn't matter. people are calling. I mean, you just got a call today from one of our neighbors to say, hey, are you coming to the men's breakfast tomorrow? Because right. everyone gets together and talks and shares information. He's been a real good resource for us for not only supplies that we needed to install yeah. stoves, but also just information.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of wisdom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's really awesome. We're the young people.
Oh, yeah.
We're the young people on the mountain.
And it's interesting as well. You know, in the Marine Corps, I was the old man.
I know.
Just about.
I was, too. I was the oldest, really, of almost all my friends.
Right. In any unit, towards the end, obviously, there might have been one other person, maybe two other people that were older than I was.
Yeah.
It's just interesting.
It is. I know. And here we're the young ones who are learning. Like we're sitting here going, tell us more about that, because I don't know anything about yeah. keeping a dairy cow, or I don't know anything about
keeping goats. Or installing a wood stove.
Yeah.
Any number of things. Yeah. Lots of things.
Yeah. yeah. Making your own lumber.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I mean, just, yeah, on and on. It's amazing. It really is. And our neighbors are a real blessing to us.
Absolutely. I agree.
Neighbors in a totally different sense.
yeah.
<the word.
laughs> yeah. Yeah. You know, that brings up a good question. As we talk about all of the dramatic changes. Well, it's hard to go from one to the other, just cut over.
Yes.
And just, you know, an immediate transition. And so, and like I said before, we didn't just do that. We didn't just wake up at the end of my Marine Corps career and go, oh, well, let's just go buy some land and homestead.
Let's get crazy.
Right. So we were preparing.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some of the things we did to prepare.
Okay. Well, I think a few years ago, several years ago, really maybe 4 years ago, if I want to get specific, there was a real shift in our mindset.
Right. We talked about this. This is really, really good. That was the pinnacle of our zombie consumer on the conveyor belt.
Life.
Yeah.
It was. I think we realized, we woke up. We totally woke up when that moment hit, and not only financially, but we started seeing different things yeah. like, huh, there's a lot of crazy things happening that somehow yeah. we've never seen.
Yeah. And it's interesting because it was kind of in pieces, you know, it's not like we could afford everything we were doing, but we were buying vehicles on, mm-hmm. you know, doing the standard thing. You know, we bought new vehicles.
You have car payments. That's what everybody has.
Everybody has car payments. You got to have a car payment. Mm-hmm. And we did that. Oh, we got a great deal, though. Got right. a great deal on the brand new truck.
Yeah.
You know, and
and my adorable little cube, which I still miss. But I yeah. know. I understand.
Right. yeah, I think politically, we had already woken up even before that. But it kind of comes in stages.
Yeah. It did, and I, you know, we were just talking about that earlier. Just, you know, we bought on credit some furniture for our home and some televisions and things. Now, of course, it was 0% interest, and we had it paid off the time that happened, but it didn't matter.
Right.
It was still buying stuff that we really didn't need.
Right.
Now, are we using it? Absolutely. Sure. I'm happy that we have it now.
And hopefully we have it for another, you know,
yeah, because I don't want to replace it.
Right.
But we were, I mean, I was getting together with my girlfriend, going on movie nights every month, and I was getting together with different girlfriends, doing at least a lunch a week. I was bringing my girls, you know, yeah. we were going out, we were yeah. going shopping, and, you know, we were just living the typical consumer lifestyle.
That's right.
Yeah. And we had cable, and that was awesome. No, not.
yeah.
Because we were spending hours watching television.
Right, and something changed in us even back then that kind of prepared us for what we're doing now.
Yeah.
And that was just, we just kind of woke up and realized something's not right.
Yeah.
You know?
And we wanted to change what we were doing.
Right.
You know, I think God really used that time in our lives to sort of shift and say, hey, I need to get you guys ready for what's coming up. We didn't know what was coming up.
Right.
But God did.
Right. So, like, one of the first things was obviously it was the financial piece
mm-hmm.
where we were like, okay, done. I'm done. I'm tired of debt. Let's end it.
Yep.
Let's end it. You know, and
we sold vehicles much stuff,
and
yeah.
we sold stuff and we battened down the hatches and yep. we started paying off debt like crazy.
Yep.
Went through Financial Peace University
mm-hmm.
and just decided we were done with debt for any other reason except
except for maybe a mortgage.
Right.
But even then, it wasn't, you know, the mindset shift is not a mortgage for 30 years. It's, I don't like debt.
Right. And so our goal is to pay off our mortgage early.
Yeah.
Quite early. As early as we possibly can, mm-hmm. in taking any extra money that we have and throwing that toward our mortgage.
Right. And further beyond the finances, it's a general mindset change.
Yeah.
It's the changing your thinking.
Yeah. It's pulling yourself out of the consumer system.
Yeah.
It really was. We got rid of cable, which helped a lot. We stopped going to movies. Not only the time, but also I never knew I needed that until you told me. And now I think I need that,
yeah.
You know, all the advertisements and everything else that are on the television. Then, you know, and then getting out of debt and all of those things allowed us to not only adopt debt-free, we were able to help my mom, mm-hmm. who, you know, got breast cancer and for several months was ill. And we were able to not only financially help her, but also girls and I go and take care of her last few months of her life. And that meant a lot to me. If we hadn't have had extra finances, we would never have been able to bless my mom that way and to give me memories and the children memories that they wouldn't have had.
Right.
Otherwise.
Right. And we had made that shift.
Yeah.
Before that, you know, several months before that time.
Right.
Which gave us the flexibility.
Yeah. What was really cool, and I'm just saying this as a side note, that God really continued to financially bless us even after that happened. And I remember thinking at the time, and you were so like, don't worry about the money, we've got it. But after that, just a few months after that, we were able to get out of debt because God just blessed us even more financially.
Right.
Even though we had spent that money that we hadn't expected to spend. So, yeah, our mind changed, and that it made a big difference.
Okay, yeah. What are some of the other things that we did to prepare?
Well, you went through that permaculture design course.
Yeah, that was very helpful, and that definitely helped prepare for what we're doing out here.
Well, and not only that, what was awesome is that you could take our property and really look at it from a permaculture view, mm-hmm. and say, hey, I see that we could do this here and we can do that there, and put out a proposed plan. Now, will we maybe, you know, change it a little bit over time? Of course. But it's really great to have something in front of us.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. That design process and being able to use this property as the final project.
Yeah,
is really helpful.
Yeah, the other thing that we did was container gardening. You remember that, Lindy?
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about in Okinawa.
Yeah, especially the first place we lived at, our very Chibana. Chibana, the first year that we did it.
Yeah.
We got a lot of lettuce.
We have
we were doing a test garden.
And we did have a lot of strawberries. It's just all the kids
in the neighborhood
would eat them before we picked them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had
That's
a good strawberry
called
crop.
What we call theft.
Yes. Yeah. It was in our yard, but apparently they didn't realize that. Or maybe they didn't care. But anyway, so yeah, we had a good set of strawberries too. Mm-hmm. But that helped us a little bit just to kind of get our feet wet in the gardening area, since that's something I never really did.
Well, yeah.
Food gardening.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So there was some semblance of trying to acquire skills.
Right. And in Okinawa, on base, we were not allowed to grow in the ground.
Yeah.
We had to grow only in containers.
Right.
So, I mean, that's what we could do, and that's what we did. I would say another thing was we started cooking more at home. Not that I hadn't cooked before. I've always cooked and enjoyed cooking. But it was just, again, it's the mindset. Don't eat so much out. Let's eat at home. Even if I didn't feel like cooking, I'm like, no, we need to cook something at home.
Yeah, no, that's very important, and especially to the level that you have started to cook at home.
Yeah.
We cook at home the vast majority of all meals.
Yeah, almost every meal here.
Yeah.
Because of the inconvenience of traveling into town.
Right, and that's a big difference, because I think a lot of people say, oh, yeah, I cook. But if they're honest about it, if they really sat down and looked at it,
mm-hmm.
they'd probably realize, wow, we eat out more than I thought.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's true. And also, like, we don't buy a lot of frozen convenience foods. So it's not like we can just go, oh, I just don't feel like cooking. Hey, Lindy, go grab some frozen chicken nuggets from the freezer. We just don't have that stuff.
Right.
We don't have it. So in Okinawa, if I really didn't feel like cooking, could I send the kids to the store to go grab something quick to eat at home? Yep.
Yeah.
I could. Oh, Can I do that here? No, not really.
Yeah. If we were in position to, we'd grab a rotisserie chicken.
Yes.
And, you know, and that's great.
Yeah. And here you just can't do that. We're too far from the nearest store to make it anywhere near convenient. It's going to take you really an hour. I mean, from the time you leave the house, even if you're only going to the next city, Sandpoint, going there, going to the store, getting back in the car, coming home, it's going to be an hour.
Yeah.
That seems like a long trip for a rotisserie chicken.
Hey, I need to run. I'm going to run real quick and get a couple of screws from the hardware store.
Yeah, no. That's not quick.
Fortunately, we've got neighbors that I can get with them first on all kinds of things. Whether it's old or used or whatever,
who cares?
Doesn't matter.
No. So, Lindy, how about you? Like, what kind of things do you think helped you prepare a little bit for some of the things you're doing here?
Editing movies.
What do you mean, editing movies?
I just have always enjoyed editing short videos.
Okay.
So taking raw footage and then putting it all together and adding music and stuff. I've been doing that since I was like 10. So now that we're here, we can actually make a lot of instructional videos because I've learned to do that over the past 4 years.
Yeah, so it kind of cut down the learning curve now that you know how to use the programs and those types of things.
It's kind of like drawing on a skill, a related skill.
Yeah.
It's a related skill that was there. And it's like, and quite frankly, I remember thinking, how are we going to do this podcast? How are we going to, Lindy? I mean, it was just automatic.
Yeah.
The natural person.
It was. And as a matter of fact, after I got everything set up, I actually sat Lindy down because I thought this is going to be very similar to what she's been doing with her movies.
Right.
So, you know how to do it with movies. You can certainly do it with podcasts. And sitting you down and showing you this is how the program works, and you picked it up really quick, and you were able to start basically editing and producing the podcast.
Yeah.
Because of the skills that you learned in Okinawa.
Yeah.
Yeah. That prepared you a lot. I would say also sewing skills. And Ella, in particular, has been good with this. She's always...
fixed several of my... I mean, and that's a key thing, is it's not so much making clothes from scratch.
Right, because that can be expensive.
Yeah, which it is literally cheaper to buy your own clothes.
Buy pre-made clothes. It really is, because the fabric is so expensive. Now, if you just happen to have fabric on hand, which we do from our previous business, then great.
Right.
Use that to make stuff.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But in general, it costs a lot more to make your own, but she's been able to.
But doing the repairs and making the clothes last longer.
Oh my goodness! She looked up a video on how to darn wool socks because some of the wool socks that the kids had holes. She fixed them.
Nice.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
It was awesome, and it's awesome. All from her sewing skills that she's learned over the years.
Right. So those little things kind of added up to be able to lead us to a position where we're not flailing.
Yeah. Well, and we're not having to go out and buy new stuff because that really gets expensive.
Yeah, it's very helpful.
It really does.
One of the things that I did to prepare is I read some serious material.
Yeah, you did.
I mean, I read probably 24 books. And, and you can't fully replace experience.
Right.
But when you are sitting in a position where that's all you can do. That's all you can do.
Right. And you're better at learning things through reading than I am. I tend to forget the information if I don't use it. And so here, it's been easier for me to go, oh, wait a minute, I need to learn about goats. And as I'm reading it, it makes sense to me and I have somewhere to file that information away. Whereas you have a really sharp memory. And so you're able to read stuff and retain it, talk about it, and then utilize it when the time comes.
Right.
And I've always envied that a little bit.
Yeah, but to be perfectly honest, I still struggle. I can read it and go, okay, I know what to do. That and I think I can go do that. And when I go on and do it, and I realize, okay, there was a couple of tweaks here and there that
I didn't quite get. Remember.
Well, yeah, not that I didn't remember, but it was like, okay, it wasn't quite. You can take the concept, learn the concept, but when it comes time to actually do it, there are some...
Right,
nuances.
But if we're talking about, skinning the deer or doing, what is that called? When you, after you kill it. Field dressing the deer. That's complicated. Like, if you've never seen anyone do it.
Sure. If you've never done it, you can watch a video about it, and it looks easy.
Not the same.
It's not the same. You do it a few times, and you probably got it, but it's, you know.
Right. I mean, that's intense. There's a lot of things that really it requires hands-on. It's just like any, a lot of skills are that way. You can read it, and that's sort of the science of it, but there's an art to almost everything.
Right.
And that art is what requires that practice and then a feel and an understanding of what's going on in front of you.
Yeah, so. I agree. I mean, there's definitely an art and science to almost every skill.
Yeah.
There's the science. You can learn the numbers. You can learn this is what you're supposed to do at this time. This is when goats usually calve, and this is when they need this or that. Then there's the art behind it.
Right.
You know, and it's
which just, requires sometimes just intuition.
Yes.
And experience and an understanding of certain situations or things.
Yeah. Our scripture for today comes from Proverbs chapter 28, and it's verse 18. It says, "Whoever walks in integrity will be delivered, but he who is crooked in his ways will suddenly fall." This concludes today's podcast. Thanks for listening. Please visit us on our website, thecourageouslifepodcast.com. We'd appreciate any comments or questions that you have. And also like us on Facebook, The Courageous Life Podcast. Semper Fidelis and Soli Deo Gloria.